Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
That might send the Yankees to the World Series. Boom, a hero in Game 7.
Clemens has set a major league record for strikeouts in a game.
Derek Jeter with one of the most unbelievable plays you will ever see by a shortstop.
Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I'm John Senecal. He's Brian Shackman. And in episode 3, we are going to talk about the 2004 ALCS, games 1-3. And this year, the Yankees and Red Sox meet up again in the ALCS, two of the three best teams in baseball. The Yankees winning the East at 101 wins. The Red Sox, again, are the wild card at 98 wins. But this is definitely not the same Red Sox team, is it, Brian?
No, it's not. Well, first of all, I'm kind of proud of my quarantine salad, but I do have to put the hat back on because we are now in 2004, so the hat stays on. No, it's interesting. You know, when we started doing, we've both watched these games over, and I've read so much about them. And when you think about the difference between the 03 Red Sox, who lost in Game 7 of the ALCS on Aaron Boone's walk-off, and the 2004 Red Sox, of course, there's that muscle memory of Curse of the Bambino and that loss, but they traded for Curt Schilling. And let's not forget, Grady Little won 95 games, got to the ALCS Game 7 and got fired. They bring in Terry Francona, who didn't do great in Philly. They signed Keith Foulke as a closer for 3 years. He was big, but I mean, don't forget, like, I know he wasn't the nicest guy, but like, Nomar Garciaparra was beloved.
They loved Nomar.
Yeah, and they traded him to the – actually, he didn't go straight to the Dodgers. He went to the Cubs, and Orlando Cabrera came to the Sox, and we loved Orlando Cabrera. That team ended up winning 3 more games than the 03 Red Sox, so they won 98 games, still finishing second. And I think that everybody – I think it's true. I think that the whole world – there's a couple things I would say. The whole world knew that these are maybe the two best teams in baseball.
And the Cardinals won 105 games this year, and these are the two best teams in baseball, in my opinion, this year.
I think they're better than the Cardinals. And on top of that, you know, I think that the Red Sox, if they were ever going to win the World Series, they probably want to go through New York. They want to beat them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's going to be a crazy series. In Game 1, I mean, it's pretty much all Yankees out of the gate. you got Matsui and Bernie right out of the gate, get your RBI singles, and it pretty much stays flat until the sixth, seventh inning. What's crazy in this one is Messina has a perfect game going into the seventh inning, which is, like, unbelievable because that's almost lost when you find the end result of this whole thing as it all plays out through seven games. That's pretty amazing to have that in a postseason game.
Well, yeah, he retired 19 in a row. And, you know, I think Messina is somebody like, I don't know, like a Maddox, or if you get to him early, then that's one thing. But
if he gets to you, he gets a hold of you, you're done. He's crazy.
Oh, it gets in a rhythm, and it's just forget about it.
And you're probably having shades of flashing back that he's going to throw it like he almost did against the Sox before, and then Carl Everett broke it up. He's throwing a perfect game. It's crazy. So
And Schilling was hurt. We didn't know too much about it. We knew he had the bad ankle, which is going to lead us to the bloody Sox game, which we'll get to at some point. The Sox got a lot of junk runs, made it close, but you know, A-Rod and Matsui, in my opinion, have to be huge stories in those first couple games.
Yep, A-Rod, Matsui. I mean, Matsui he would have been the MVP all said and done, probably. Even if the way he doesn't perform towards the end of the series, I mean, he was just a monster all the way through. But yeah, the Yankees, I mean, pretty much blow it open in this game, and then the Sox kind of claw their way back here and there. Veritek has a 2-run home run. They get to Messina eventually. And, you know, it's kind of a ho-hum game, but it's, you know, the Yankees win it 10-7 when it's all said and done, and then you're on to game two.
When we think of, like, the insecurity that is my Red Sox-ness, like, that wasn't necessarily the moment where I said, here we go again, we're going to lose, we're losers, like I left last time, which is still in the back of my head, honestly, the whole time. Even though the team felt different, I didn't have that much self-doubt after game one. I was like, okay.
Brian, the other thing, I mean, I'm going to say something. I mean, in your favor here, you guys are down 8-0 in the seventh inning of this game, and you wind up, the game winds up being 10-7.
Right.
Which is, I mean, and looking back on it now, that could almost be like a psychological jumping board. I mean, that's impressive. That's impressive in a play.
Yeah, but then you go to game two, and my theory on this is why this progression is so interesting, because if you told me the Red Sox will go down 2-0, I'd say, oh, okay, that's one thing.
And Pedro's on game two.
Right, but then if you go down 0-2 and Schilling and Pedro are your two losers,
right?
Where's the hope there?
There isn't much hope. There isn't much hope. And then you get to game three and it's like, it's crazy. I mean, game two is kind of, you know, Pedro pitches good. He only gives up 3 earned runs. John Lieber, which I basically almost forgot paid for the Yankees.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing with Pedro, I don't know, it's kind of shades of Grady Little. He got in and out of a lot of trouble, right? I mean, if you look at the box score, the inning by inning, he had guys on base. Right, and then he was down, only down 1-0, and then Pedro's basically 5'9". They leave him in probably too long again.
Olerud hits a home run.
Center right field, well hit back at the wall.
Olerud is kind of this weird guy because I think of him for two things. I think of him as a
helmet. In the helmet. The first guy to ever wear a helmet in the field because he had the brain surgery. He had an aneurysm or something like that. He played for the Blue Jays. He was a good ball player, John Olerud.
He had a sweet swing. He was a lefty, right?
Lefty,
he had one of those sweet lefty swings, like a strawberry-esque kind of.
Yeah.
How come lefties have better swings than righties? They just
I'm a lefty. It's like they're prettier or something. And they got that swooping swing, you know. You can hit that low and inside pitch like nothing else when you're a lefty.
Yeah, he had a 2-run shot. They go up 3-0. They cut it to 3-1. And,
you know,
and
another,
that's all true.
Another interesting thing about these first two games, though, is Rivera pitches in this game, too. And he throws one in the third inning. So this might be a little precursor to his troubles later on, too. I don't know. Maybe he's getting overworked.
Well, I'm going to ask you that. Did they bring him in the eighth a lot during the regular season? Because he came into the eighth a lot in this series.
Well, I mean, we talked about this in the last episode, too, in 2003, you know, because he's been in the league now. This is his ninth year, right? So I don't think he should be pitching in that situation if you're going by the rules of baseball. But that's how it goes. You know what I'm saying? Look, I mean, Folk pitches big in this series. He pitches a lot, you know? So that's just how it is.
So you think Rivera got tired?
I think so. But, you know, if you look at Rivera, he has such little blemishes on his record. I mean, he had a 0.69 ERA going into this postseason, into game four when he has his troubles. You know, like, he's untouchable. He's only floundered maybe twice in 2001 and then now. Like, he's, if you're going to throw him out there for one and a third, 1 2/3 and not have the confidence in him, I mean, you'd be crazy at this point still. And looking back as his career progresses down the line into the Hall of Fame, I'd do it to him when he was 40 years old. Coming off knee surgery, I'd throw him for two inning and 2/3. He's Mo. You know what I mean? He's a right. Sandman.
So you're up 2-0. I mean, as a fan, what is your thinking?
Oh, we're sitting pretty. Are you kidding me? Two up, two nothing on the Sox. I mean, and we have home field advantage, dude. I mean, Jesus, you can't think of anything better. And then you come into game three and it's just like, it's insane. I mean, they trounce them in game three, and game three is, I mean, me personally, it was nuts. I mean, I spent game three sitting at the Chatham Squire and
good bar.
A bar in Chatham.
Wait, time out. Is it the Chatham Bars Inn or the Chatham Squire? Because there's two different places. Is the one in downtown or the one by the ocean?
Downtown.
Yeah, that's the Squire. Okay.
The Squire. So the Squire. I spent that game at the Squire with my really good friend Daryl Velez and my wife. And we got there early and we were there before the game, had dinner and sat right in front of a big screen TV. Back when they had big screens, you know, like they used to wheel those big old trucks in there. And boy, I'll tell you something. We watched that game and it was nuts by the late by the, that game was long game, you know, and then people had some libations in them and there was not happy Red Sox fan. And I just remember at one point walking out of there with my,
were you wearing the hat?
I had a hat on. Absolutely. Absolutely. I always do, man. I always do. But I remember walking out of there and the final score was 19-8. I remember going 19-18. You know, but I couldn't make it much longer in there. It was getting pretty crazy.
You're going to get hurt. Well, Shaughnessy had that line. Dan Shaughnessy in the Globe wrote that line. 19-8, it sounds a lot like 19-18. You talk about the length of the game. I mean, it was 4 hours and 20 minutes. It was the longest 9-inning postseason game in the history of baseball. The 19 runs by the Yankees, a record. And, you know,
A-Rod, Sheffield, Matsui, and Bernie, 22 at-bats, 16 hits, 14 runs, 15 RBIs between those guys in that game. I'd be hard-pressed to find any playoff game in the history where the guys, someone stepped up like that.
I think Matsui and A-Rod scored 5 runs each, and I think Sheffield must have scored 4 if they had 14. And it was just insane. But I was at that game, and this is where, you know, I said a little bit about this in episode 2. It was the worst sporting event I've ever been to. And I remember watching Boston College football play USC and Rodney Peete in the rain, get thumped by USC on their home turf. I watched so many Red Sox games where they lost, heartbreaking Bruins games against the Canadians. I saw the Celtics lose to the Sixers in the Garden. I've seen some bad crap in my days, and you couldn't even compare it. It felt, and that's where, honestly, the self-esteem thing coming out of that stadium was the most deflating fan base I had ever been around. And I was 15 years old in 86. I was there in Boston in 03.
I couldn't imagine what it felt like walking out of there.
It was humiliating is what it was. And, you know, the thing that's crazy is that people considered it to be over. And
how could you not?
And I mean, you know, when you think about the collective psyche of a city, I mean, and people don't understand it. In 2004, the Patriots had won the Super Bowl, right? And the Celtics hadn't gone back to winning a title. The Bruins hadn't gone back to winning a title. And obviously, the Red Sox hadn't won. But back then, the Patriots were not like the number one thing in town yet. They weren't the legendary status.
Right.
And the baseball sort of controlled the karma and the culture of the city. And I don't know if I can overstate it. I mean, we felt like losers. And the thing that I always, when we look back on it, it's not like we're there's a reveal. We know what happens is that guys like Damon and Millar didn't buy into that. And I don't know how they felt after that game. I'm sure they must've felt like there's no way we can do this because it had never happened in the history of sports. But I know that me and everyone I knew felt like a loser.
I mean, it's probably the same way the Yankees fans felt walking out of the stadium in game 7. But I mean, even worse, because like you said, all the buildup, all the suffering, all that, it's crazy. But man, what an outcome, man, and what we're going to get to talking in a couple more episodes. But this game is just insane. It's And the crazy thing about this game, I noticed when I was looking back at it, Ramiro Mendoza, a former Yankee, loses this game for the Red Sox, and he throws one inning, gives up one hit, one run, and he strikes out one batter, and he loses a game in a 19-8 game. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and it's forever in the history books. Well, here's your trivia question, and everyone who's listening, don't Google it. Well, you're not going to get it, but if you can tell me who you think the Game 4 winner is, you get a prize, okay? And you can get me at Twitter, at @BShackman, because it's not a Red Sox pitcher you could ever remember ever knowing who they were if they were on the team. So if you know the winner of Game 4, that's incredible. So I'm just going to set the table here with the mindset of me and my life, and I'll repeat it a little bit at the beginning of episode 4, and then I want to leave you, John, with a quotation from the great Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe. So I, you know, remember Game 3 was delayed a day because of rain, right? And Game 4 was the very next day. And I had to work the next day, and I've shared this anecdote before. And we had a very good friend who was a lawyer for the Red Sox who could get us tickets. And we had tickets for Game 4, and I couldn't go. And my wife, who we had just got married in August, and you know Jess, she wanted to go, even though she was one of those fans that never gave up. You know, she just was one of those types, except she couldn't get anybody to go with her. And I've said this, who would want to spend $100 on a ticket when your team's down?
They're in debt.
They're down 3-0 to maybe the greatest franchise in sports, right? You're not down 3-0 to the Indians,
right?
You're down 3-0 to the Yankees
after you just lost by a touchdown and a field goal,
right? Yeah. Who they're your daddy? They stole Babe Ruth, and they've taken your heart out, you know, over so many decades. Even though we talked about how they don't match up enough, so she probably asked 6 or 7 friends before she got somebody to go with her. And I'll share a little bit of her experience. Maybe I'll even bring her in for episode 4 to talk about what that night was like, because she was there and I wasn't, because I had to go to work, which was
crazy. Work.
I had to work.
You know how many, Yankees games and baseball games and stuff I listened to on the radio before we could watch it on our phones and before we could watch it in, you watch it even in a live truck or a satellite truck. How many games I listened to on the radio because I had to work. And then people ask you, why do you try not to work nights and weekends? Because I want to listen to baseball. I want to watch it on TV. I want to go to it.
You want to be at the game. But I will give a little bit of a confession. I didn't want to go to Game 4.
I was glad
I was working. I didn't want to go because I was like, there's no chance they're going to win. And the framework, I mean, people should know this by now, that no team had ever come back from down 3-0. And, you know, back then, even in 04, it was sort of, the internet was obviously there and people used it a ton, but newspapers hadn't died yet. And the Boston Globe still had a special sports section. And Bob Ryan, who, you know, sort of came through the ranks as a basketball guy, was still a great general columnist. And this is basically this once, and this isn't even the whole sentence, John. This is his sentence in the Boston Globe the next day after the 19-8 win by the Yankees in Game 3. They, the Red Sox, are down 3-0 after last night's 19-8 rout. And in this sport, that is an official death sentence. Nobody in Boston, maybe save some people in the locker room, thought the Red Sox had a chance.
Yeah, and he's your gospel for sports columnists in Boston. So yes. Yeah, on to Game 4, we're gonna go. I don't like the outcome, but that's it. We're gonna talk about it next week on episode 4. For now, I am John Senegal. He's Brian Shackman. This is Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. We will see you next week for episode 4.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's Best Network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!